Rabbi Isai over there. Excuse me.
I'll tell him.
Rabbi Isai. Close the door.
Have a good Shabbos, Rabbi. I couldn't find it yet in Mishlei.
Okay, you'll find it. Okay, I'm going to try to finish this Torah on page 75, the Eres HaTchia, Rav Avinir's commentary. The top of page 75. We're talking about our Matziv and Golas as an Uma Parachas Ba'avir. That's the term that Rav Kook uses, an Uma Parachas Ba'avir, a nation that was hovering in midair. And midair meaning we retreated into a world of Ruchnius because the Gashmius was too bitter. That doesn't mean that we didn't take care of our physical lives, but it meant that fulfillment, simcha, a true and healthy binyan of life was something that was not to be found in our external environment. And so there was that time that we began to retreat from the world. We retreated from the world and we entered into that Metzias Chalamnu Rak al Dvar Malchus Shemayim. And our dreams were dreams of Malchus Shemayim. Not the Malchus here in this world. That was something that we wouldn't dare think about. That was even Shayach to have a Malchus in this world. So we became fixated on Malchus Shemayim, which is a very holy thing, al dvar hatayv elokia muchlat. So Rav Kook continues on the top, the dark words of Rav Kook's words. Matzav meshune zahayalon l'refu yofa. This strange matzav that we were in. The strange matzav of a nation being in Golas for thousands of years, being in Golas. The strange matzav, Hoyolin l'refu yofa, l'maisa, in many ways, it, with all of the misery and suffering, it was a refu. It brought the great healing. Hoyolin l'refu yofa, it brought the great healing. So he explains Rav Avinir, Mitzias lo normalis shekazu, hizusha b'saifa shadover ripa osano. The abnormal existence of Am Yisrael and Golas, in the end, brought to a great refuah. Haketzad, B'nei Shayada, Rav Kook writes, Huklata b'kirbeinu pnima, they became absorbed deep within us, Hashi'ifa hativiz lono al dvar ha'tayv aluki haklali. They became absorbed within us a very great a natural longing, a yearning for the ultimate tov of advar tov eloki haklali, the ultimate tov of Hashem. We were not expecting, even though we were hoping, but we weren't expecting to have the tov of this world, and to have world leaders, kings, and so on who would take care of us, who would care about us. And instead, we became filled with this great she'ifa, al dvar ha'tayv elokei ha'klali. So Rav Avinir explains, v'im kodim l'chein asaknu b'tzura kitzonis b'nyoni ha'chomer. If before we went into Golas, at the time of the first Beis HaMikdash, when we became caught up in Shvichas Damim and Gilai Reis, Avodah Zarah, and then later on with hatred and fighting between us, because everybody was watching out so much for his physical domain, and was so obsessed with his physical success and so on. But Harei Mishim, it says, "Seinu Lagalus Harucha Ischan Lasek Batzura Kitzonis Binyani Haruach." Once we were forced out of our land, and we were no longer in a position to really achieve great success in this world. So we became much more involved in very extreme ways. We became involved in Yanni HaRuach, within Yanni of Ruchnius. And this would bring us back, this extreme ruchnius would bring us back to some sort of a shivui hamishkal, to somewhere in the middle. Where of course the tachlis is not just malchus shamayim, the tachlis is malchus shamayim al haaretz, in this world. But we were living in Golis in the extreme place of ruchnius, because the gashmius was not measuring up, and as a result of that, it returned us to a healthy place. He's referring to the lashon of the Rambam and Shmona Brachim, but to be people who are living a healthy physical life, together with a healthy spiritual life. Kachaya b'chol shnayis hagolus, behen ne'elasnu lasok achrak b'nyani haruach hamushatim. So we saw that. I mean, when you go back, any time that was after, you know, it was not only by the first galus afterwards, and then later on with the Bishim Vayichai and the Zohar Kodesh, but after the expulsion from Spain, so then the whole Torah of the Ari HaKadosh and Tzvas and all the Mekubalim of Tzvas, there was a tremendous galus of Panimius HaTorah that took place as a result of the, or following the expulsion from Spain. And when in Spain we had achieved some great political and economic success, and as a result of that, there were many, many Jews at that time that were being drawn away from Yiddishkeit and were getting lost in the better life that was available to us in Spain, in Portugal, and so on, in that part of the world. And then there was the Geirush. Then we were thrown out of Spain. And following that, we see how there was such a resurgence of the Inyan of Ruchnius and Kabbalah and Pnimius and so on. And again, following later on, a couple of hundred years later, in Poland, with the pogroms of Tachvetat, and afterwards the whole Inyan of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh. First there was that terrible, terrible mistake that caused so much damage to Am Yisrael. Even we're feeling, even to this day, there's certain damage that the effect of Shabtai Tzvi and the whole Inyan of that... What was it that contributed so much to the success of Shabtai Tzvi? How could it be such a thing? Because the world was so miserable for us, and we were very susceptible to falling for false Mashiachs. And then afterwards, they needed the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh to set things in a holy way, in a proper way. But this back and forth from... Also in Poland, when we came to Poland, we thought this was going to be like Shangri-La. This was Gewaldig. The Polish wanted us very badly to come there, and we were offered all kinds of, all kinds of nice fringe benefits by coming to build up their malchus, and then everything turned the other way, and so we returned back to the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh and to Ruchnius and to Avoda and so on. And similarly what happened following the Holocaust. This is a seder of how we've seen throughout history this Inyan of Gashmius and Ruchnius and Gashmius and Ruchnius. The tachlis is that we should be Anshei Ruach, people of Ruach, that live healthy physical lives in our own country, taking care of ourselves. Not this extreme and not that extreme. So Rav Kook is explaining. Avol achshav shuv anukurim legashma b'chayim. But now the time has come where we're being called upon by Hashem. The time has come legashma b'chayim, to to put Yiddishkeit to practice, lemaisa, b'chaim, in life itself. Ata Rav Avner explains, Aleinu lahakshim b'parol as oisa hashiva, elatover lokiyam uchlat v'anitzchi. Now we can put into practice that shiva that we had for atover lokiyam uchlat v'anitzchi, for the absolute tover v'Hashem, but lemaisa, in our lives, in physical life, not just something theoretical, not just in ruchni is not vital, but to put it into practice. So he says, Zahu Dvar HaTchir. And this Rav Kook always called the Tchir, the return to life. Our return to life. Zeh Dvar HaTchir. This is the Dvar HaTchir. To find this balance between Shamayim and Aretz, to take all of the Tov HaElokei that we were thinking about and dreaming of and talking and learning and davening, and everything was in that place of what was theoretical, because Lamaisa we didn't have our own place, and we couldn't really build a malchus in this world with all of this Taiva Eloki. But Rav Kook says now we're being called upon for the Tchiyah, to come back to life in our land, and to put all of these beautiful ruchnisdika ideas, to put them into practice, Lamaisa. To develop ourselves as a people in our country. In a real way, in a healthy way, in a normal way. Golus has been such an abnormal experience for us. It's just abnormal. Even though, as Rav Kook said, it brought us a refuah, yafa, but it's been very, very abnormal. It hasn't been a healthy, normal existence. It's very extreme, one way or the other. So that's what we were talking about last week. So we saw that there were great tzaddikim and great Tamil Chachamim, but the Hamayin Am were very, very far from learning and Avaida and so on. It was such extremes. There were strong Yamuna, there were big Ma'aminim, but it wasn't a normal, healthy existence. So he explains Rav Avner. Omnam b'chol shnois ha'golos hayu li Yehudim sheifos ha'tzumus v'neflos v'nageh li'mayse Mashiach gulos Yisrael. All the years of golos, Jews were always dreaming and longing for Yemayse Mashiach. There will come a time that we'll be free, and we could be who we want to be in our country, l'gulos Yisrael, and to redemption. But in reality, so many of these dreams became smaller. they shrunk. For instance, I'm not going into the subject of the machloikis, whether there should be a state of Israel, not a state of Israel. That's not going to be solved here in Eish Kodesh on this Erev Shabbos. And I have no interest in talking about it. I'm tired from the early years of a million conversations about it. But the Metzius is that everybody understands, any person that has a little bit of Yiras Shamayim understands that we were so anxious for redemption that we were prepared to settle for a redemption of Basar V'Dam, to settle for a redemption that many Jews settled for without HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that the state would come to represent something of a redemption without having Torah and mitzvahs. That the state would replace, that the shrinking of Geula, the shrinking of Geula, that instead of Geula being, Chassam Sofer speaks about this in Torah's Moshe, one of the Haftarahs in Devarim, I don't remember which Haftarah, maybe in Kisavo, where the Chassam Sofer writes a very shocking thing. He says that he was talking about in his time, and I'm sure there was a lot of Ruach HaKodesh, where the Chassam Sofer said how we're so anxious already over these years of Golus to have redemption, that any redeemer that comes along, the Jews are going to jump on. Any type of redemption, we're going to, we'll grab. And he said, and if we would be patient and wait for the ultimate redemption, then we wouldn't have to wait. In other words, he said, if we wouldn't compromise, if we wouldn't be mispasher for a redemption of Bos of Adam, so then we would have the ultimate redemption with Malchus Beis David and so on. So you understand that this is something that weighed very heavily on the minds and the hearts of great people and great tzaddikim. So, you know, when the state of Israel was established, so there was dancing, there was crying, and there was dancing. And there are those who saw in that the ultimate redemption. There are those who saw in it the replacement or the substitute for the ultimate redemption. Or even though there were some that saw in it a tragic delay of the true redemption. It's not shtiyot. These are great people that are arguing about great things. We're not talking about taking one side or the other. These are very great and holy people. But there's nobody here that thinks that the Minchas Olos or the Sadr Rebbe, these tzaddikim, were like out of their minds. They were very great and holy people. And Rav Rubam of the Gedolei Yisrael held that way. And you know, whether or not we should settle for partial redemption or go through more suffering and wait for the ultimate redemption, there's an amazing piece in the Shefach Chaim from the Klausenberger Rebbe. Parshas Vayishlach. The Shefach Chaim, so far we have until Vayikra that they put together from, I have an old set of, but it was put together over the last few years. This is a Shefach Chaim from Torah from Shel Shudas, from the Klausenberger Rebbe. I mean, there are many, 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 many volumes that still need to be done. There's so much Torah from him. But he talks about the machlokes. He talks about what happened back with the tzaddikim, the time of the Alter Rebbe and the Rebbe Mendel Rimanov and the machlokes, whether or not to side with France or to side with Russia. I mean, you know these things. Napoleon was promising everything to us. He was promising that we would have complete rights and freedom, and France would be accepted as equal citizens. He was talking about good stuff, Napoleon. And in Russia, life was terrible. It was bleak by the Tsar. Of a Cholzais, you all know that the Baal Tanya fought against Napoleon. He saw Napoleon as the embodiment of the Sitra Achra. The Rebbe Mendel Rimanov supported Napoleon, and the tzaddikim were divided. At the end, it was most of the tzaddikim were agreed with the Baal Tanya. It was the whole thing with Kozin Samagat. At first, he was behind Rav Mendel Rimanov to support Napoleon, but then afterwards, it was all mice. It's unbelievable, the whole story. And there in the Shefach Chaim Vayishlach, there the Klausenberger Rebbe goes to the whole stauslus of the machlokes between the tzaddikim. The Baal Tanya, so there were many people that said, how could the Alter Rebbe look away from this? The Jews are suffering under the Tsar in Russia. It was terrible. And Napoleon was promising emancipation and free rights for the Jews. But the Tanya said that we have to be careful. It's so tempting to settle for this redemption that he's promising us. It's all from the Sitra Achra. It's all from the other side that we should settle. And we're going to be mizbarlo. We're going to assimilate and lose our Yiddishkeit. And it's going to be, there's not going to be any Jew left to redeem with Mashiach ben David. That's what the Tanya believed. He saw Napoleon as being mamish the Sitra Achra. Even though Napoleon was talking the shyness of democracy. And he said, the Alter Rebbe felt it's better to remain in the bitterness of Russia, and we're Jews over here, and we'll wait it out. We're not going to settle for a gula from Napoleon. We're going to wait for the gula of Mashiach. This is an Indian that's been going back and forth and lies at the shurish over the question of how should we view the state of Israel? How do we look at that? Is that Eschalta de Gula? Lubavitch Rebbe never allowed the use of the term Eschalta de Gula. You know that. For all of you who think the Lubavitch Rebbe was such a big Zionist, he was a fierce anti-Zionist, the Lubavitch Rebbe. In terms of political Zionism, fiercely opposed to Zionism. There are things from him that are stronger than Satmar from the Lubavitch Rebbe. But his mahalach was to work with the soldiers and to worry. That was his mahalach, to be makarv, to be mechazik, and so on. But he never allowed the use of the term that this is the beginning of redemption, like they use in the Mishaber, you know, in many of the shuls that they have, you know, Reishis Tzmichas Gula Seinu. Lubavitch Rebbe didn't allow it. Any of these Lashonis never, he spoke very strongly against using the Lashonis of saying that this is the beginning of our redemption. He didn't allow it. Rav Kook does use that sometimes. That's before there was a state. But Lubavitch Rebbe did not allow the use of the term Veshis smichas gula seinu. They say he didn't allow it. And he had a mesorah like this. These are great people. There are others, of course, right, that great people, tzaddikim, that identified this as the beginning of redemption. But there is that taifa that Jews have after so many years of galus to have to be redeemed, and we'll take whatever the redemption is. So the redemption is through Herzl and through Ben Gurion. So okay, whatever, we'll take it. You know, we'll take it. And the others have said, no, that's not. We didn't wait thousands of years for Theodor Herzl. You know, it's not what we were waiting for. We didn't wait thousands of years to have a Medina the way that it looks now. That's not what we were waiting for. And the other Mahalachis to say that. Sof kol sof, life could be better for Jews, and we could be relieved of some of the suffering, of the misery, and the torture of Golos. In this way, Jews could have yeshivas. We could open up out there, which we have in Eretz Yisrael. We could have yeshivas. There could be more Yiddishkeit. Jews will have a place to where they can go, and they could connect HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So there are two sides. Elav eladiv lekim chaim. They're both tzaddikim. No, who's right? You know, whenever you say this side is wrong, they kill you. And the other one, they kill you. So everybody's get angry and fighting, and the Jews are arguing over this stuff. But this is the shorash of the argument. Is there an inyan of settling for partial redemption at the expense of full redemption? Are we settling for a false Messiah? So Shabbat Tzvi was a false Mashiach, and there are those who said that the state is false redemption. And this is something that has been going back and forth. So when he explains Shabbapol Chalomis Rabim Hiskatnu, that we had very, very great dreams of redemption. And over time, because of how miserable we were in Golis, that some of those great dreams became smaller dreams. They shrunk. So the dream of Mashiach ben David is able to shrink. Not that Rav Avinu is alluding to this particular thing, but the dream of Mashiach ben David could shrink into a smaller idea of redemption. Not the ultimate redemption with Nevuah and with Beis HaMikdash and so on. So there are those who feel, what do we need a Beis HaMikdash? We have the Knesset, we don't need a Beis HaMikdash. Lavdal. You can see why there's an inyan, a fight over these things. The whole world is standing on these inyanim about big dreams that become small, because when life gets good, then the dreams get smaller. That's how it is. And when life is hard, then you have bigger dreams, because reality stinks. So then you have bigger dreams. And when reality is good, then the dreams become silly dreams. That's how life is. So when we were in Mamish, in the darkness and the bitterness of Golos, the dreams were very, very big for Gula, very, very big. And then when life became better, so then the dreams of Gula became smaller. Sometimes they were altogether lost. As it says, So the tzaddikim explain. Svasemis, this is your side today. Svasemis, all the tzaddikim explain. There are those Jews who are lost. Be'eretz Asher. Asher means happiness and fulfillment. Asher with an aleph is like Asher also with an ayin, wealth. When things are good, there are Jews who are lost. Ovdim be'eretz Asher. That they become destroyed because of life being good, and then you have others who are nidachim b'Eretz Mitzrayim. They become destroyed because of Eretz Mitzrayim, because life is miserable. So the ultimate gula of ha'avdim b'Eretz Mitzrayim, nidachim b'Eretz Mitzrayim, shtach l'Hashem ha'harkash b'shalayim. That all of these Jews, the ones who are lost in their wealth, and the ones who are lost in their poverty, the Jews who are destroyed by life being good, then they stop dreaming the big dreams. And the ruchnius becomes, you know, a loss that, to a large extent, that affected us here in America, where Baruch Hashem, life has become so much more pleasant, so much better over here. And as a result of that, the ruchnius is, the ruchnius is, mitztam same very much in America. The ruchnius, the Jews that came to America, that left Europe and came to America, I don't know the numbers, but many of them, their children, their grandchildren are not Jewish anymore. Those who came, as you know, some of you might have family members, relatives that came to America. Any of you have family members that came to America in the early 1900s? You have mishpacha like that? If they're still from, it's them. Yeah, they have from relatives. It's very, very unusual. Very, very hard. They were here in America for a long time that they were stayed from. It was very, very. Those who did were stark, very strong people. But you have relatives that are from America in the early part of their 20s, and they're from. It's very unusual to be able to keep that up. My wife has grandparents that came in the early part of the, like 1920, that time, First World War, they came, and there's only one tiny part of the family that stayed Shomer Shabbos. They married Goyim, they're out. She doesn't even know who they are. Very few. What happened to them? Ha'ovdim Beretz Asher. There were no pogroms over here in New York. Life was much better. Life was much better. I mean, it was very hard in the beginning, but compared to it's one thing to handle over money and as opposed to Cossacks. There's a big difference. So they started to work on Shabbos, because then you could if you make enough money, you could leave the Lower East Side or someplace. You could leave the city, and you could get a house in Woodmere, further out on Long Island, right? And then, so the Gashmi is Ayvdim Beretz Asher. They became lost in the land of opportunity, and the dreams of Ruchnias, of Malchus Shemayim, began to fade away. So you can understand that the difficulties of Galus, Rav Kook said, was a refuah yafa, to build us up internally, to have big dreams. But it's very easy to lose them when life gets better. I've often thought about why is it that we're still here after all of these years, me and you? Why are we still here? I mean, my parents tried. They did try it back in 1970. We moved to Eretz Yisrael. And for different reasons, it didn't work out. But Lamai said, why are we still here? How come we're still here? Why so many years have passed except for Shmuel? But otherwise, why are we still here? And you're not Yaitzi if you have an apartment in Yerushalayim. Sorry. You know what I mean. I'm not talking about any kind of a Shol Shogolim deal one day, Yontif. I'm talking about the real thing. Like, why are we still here? Why are we still here? I remember when my father came home, and he just said, I had enough, we're moving. So my mother didn't even know what he was talking about, where we were moving. He should have spoken to her about it first. But that was how it was in those days. My father said, we're leaving. My mother didn't know. We're going to Florida? We're going to California? My father said, very simply said, I had it. We're finished with the goyim. We're going. We're going to Eretz Yisrael. I said, what? No. How? My father said, I already took care of it. He went. He already, with the sachnut, and he already made all the papers and everything. Took care of everything. We're going. He had a date already when we're leaving. We're going. And I'm thinking, Yankees. My friends, like, what are we doing? What am I going to do over there? It wasn't like it is now, like it's so American. It was very Israeli when I was there. And my father said, I had it. I'm a speaker already. I can't take it anymore. We're leaving. This is not our place. We're going. And he had such a thing, and his brother tried to talk him out of it. Was, what are you doing? And my father always listened to his older brother, but he said, no, I'm going, and you're going to come afterwards. One of the main reasons we came back is my uncle didn't come. They couldn't be apart, those two. But there was that feeling of like, must speak, it's enough already here. But look how we're okay. You feel okay being here? It's okay. I know we all say the right things about how we all get very emotional when we talk about Yerushalayim and stuff, and we like to visit, but we're okay. Okay. It's not like you're taking in your house and you're closing down most of the rooms and leaving just a certain size of an apartment like in Yerushalayim to remember in Meshkechech Yerushalayim. We're not doing that. We're leaving the rooms open in New York. We have our rooms. We have our nice yards and our rooms. We're not closing off to remember Yerushalayim. You buy a painting of Yerushalayim, Yemeshkechecha Yerushalayim, a painting that not one Israeli could afford. The painting, you'd have to sell his apartment to get the painting that we have on our walls to remember Yerushalayim. You'd have to sell his apartment to get the painting. Yemeshkechecha Yerushalayim, then we get like teary-eyed. Man. America's not for us. We have to go back. We have to go back. That's all. Diburim ba'alma. Pitputim, it's called. Diburim ba'alma. Diburim ba'alma. It's how often Beres Asher. We've got lost over here, Beres Asher. We got lost in the land of opportunity. The American dream, and the American dream is instead of the Jewish dream. We got lost. And then we started to build so many yeshivas, Baruch Hashem, so many beautiful shuls and maizdas. So, you know, you already built a beautiful shul for $2 million. It's not so posh. What are you going to do with it? We can go get a trailer someplace, a caravan in Petach Tikva. What are we going to do? I have a $15 million. I was in Los Angeles. I saw such places there that they built, Baruch Hashem. I mean, it's beautiful. They built the yeshiva and the shuls. They built up. I was there, and there was on Pico, there's a, I remember last time I was there, which is like 4 years ago, there was a furniture store. And now there's this magnificent, beautiful shul. Wow. I spoke to them Thursday night when I was there in this shul, this beautiful shul. So now, and I said all the nice things I'm supposed to say about how he built up the community, but inside, deep inside, I'm thinking, we're just digging in deeper, you know, just digging in deeper. It's going to be harder to let go of these things. It's going to get harder and harder. But that's how it is. And then the dreams become smaller dreams of Yerushalayim and of Ruchnis and Avayda, they become smaller. Then in Eretz Yisrael, life is harder. Now already things, thank God, things are much easier for many of the Jews in Israel than it used to be. But I remember when I used to go there back in the 1960s, when I first went there in 1967 after the Muhammad, and the idealism, wow, such an unbelievable passion and idealism. Because the Gashmius was really very, 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 very hard. Very hard. It's a lot easier now, but back even when we moved there, the Gashmius was really very, very, very little. Very little Gashmius. And but the Ruchnius was unbelievable. It was powerful. It was powerful idealism and Ruchnius. There was a feeling of Mashiach Mamish in the air. And now when you walk in Gula, so the stores already look like American stores. And they're trying as much as possible that the Americans should feel that they haven't left America, because this way they make panasa from that. And the Indian Eretz Yisrael, but it really is a shrinking and shrinking and getting smaller. It's always like that. Those who remember Eretz Yisrael being walking Yerushalayim 40, 50 years ago, it was a different tzura. You're not going to believe this. There was a time where the men and women walked on the other side of the street. They didn't go on the same side of the street. No, they didn't have to have warnings. You know, you're going to get in trouble. As they walked on different sides of the street, that sneeze, there wasn't Yerushalayim. I'm not saying that's the ultimate thing, that you have to have other sides, but there was such a natural sneeze there in Yerushalayim. Now you have Jews, that the Jews have big, big Yerushalayim. How could they even walk in Gula on an Erev Shabbos without knocking into men and women? So we're grateful, Baruch Hashem. The streets of Yerushalayim are full, but it became a little bit of an America there also. It's hard. That Indian of Ha'ivdim Beretz Ashur that had crept into Eretz Yisrael as well. That American way of life that crept into Eretz Yisrael as well. The tachlis is that we should be able to live an American standard of life with the Yerushalmi standard of Ruchnius. Right? It should be good, Toivat Nigla and Gashmius, but it won't be on the cheshbon of the Kedusha Hanisteris of a Jew, that it won't be on that. It won't be on that cheshbon. It won't be on that cheshbon. But that has been Golus. It's Kitzoni. This extreme or that extreme. And Hashem is Mechanachas in so many ways. And when the Meshech Chachma wrote about that, that scary thing that he wrote, you know, I'm talking about in Chukosai, that he, such a Ruach HaKodesh, he says that you're going to see that you made Berlin into Yerushalayim. He said, and how he wrote it, from here is going to begin the destruction from this place, from Berlin. You think that Berlin is Yerushalayim. You think the Berlin's Yerushalayim, and you remember with Rameir Kahana, Hashem should avenge his blood. You remember when he went crazy because they were advertising Farakwe as the Netanya of America, the Netanya, Netanya by the Sea, that they were advertising when they were trying to build up for Farakway 40 years ago. So because it was getting bad, so they tried to build up. They advertised houses in Farakway to live by Netanya, like Netanya in America, and Americana went nuts. Like, he got like 40 drushes out of that, you know, like Netanya in America. That's Netanya in America. Why not go to Netanya in Eretz Yisrael? Do you have to have Netanya in America? The Teretz is Netanya in America is better. Why is Netanya in America better? What makes Netanya in America better? I lived in Netanya for a year. We lived there. Rechov Mechemet Sheshet Hayom is 27. I mean, it was Rechov Mechemet Sheshet Hayom. My father said Mechemet Sheshet Hayom. As we lived on Rechov Mechemet Sheshet Hayom is 27. I went back to see the apartment 2 years ago. Rechov Mechemet Sheshet Hayom. I hated it there. My mom hated it. That's why, if it was, it wouldn't have been with my sister and I, if we wouldn't have made such trouble, and it wouldn't have been so miserable, we would have stayed. But we made my father crazy. My mother also didn't like it there. So then my father said, it's okay. So then he built us a beautiful house in the suburbs. So he thought then we'd have we'd be by Eretz Asher, that we'd have an Eretz Asher and Eretz Yisrael. So my father built us a beautiful home, and we lived like an American lifestyle, and we had, like, you know, palm trees in our backyard, and we had a big yard and a beautiful home with all kinds of things there. And my father was hoping that now the chevra will be happy. No. Because until I got Sporting News and Sports Illustrated, it took 2 weeks until somebody got it to me. How could I be happy like that? How could you be happy when you have a television that has only like one station and it's only from 8 o'clock till 10 o'clock at night? That's how it was then. This television was only for 2 hours. And what kind of television was it? You could turn to the Arab station. What is that? What do you want to watch on the Arab station? Sometimes on the Arab station they had an old Hogan's Heroes. So even though it was in Arabic, you know, they had Arabic subtitles, but you could hear a little bit the Hogan. You know, you could hear it was kedai to watch Arab television to watch. From Jordan, they had television. So that's not like being. So it's better to have Netanya by the Netanya in Farakway instead of Netanya in Netanya, because an American to get used to Netanya is a whole avoda. So it was the most terrible thing. My father was like Mamish in Gan Eden over there, in Gan Eden. All he needed was this. He had the shul that had this gewaldige chazan he loved, and he met all of the friends that turned out that he thought they were dead. Now they're alive. Some of his friends from back in the old country. And my father was a happy camper. No. He didn't want it. Life is not good. And even with a beautiful house, it's no good. We're not used to it. It's not for us. I don't like it. It was, you know. So, you know, I insisted on having, I Dafka wanted to have, you know, everybody got around with bicycles then. I'm sorry, I shouldn't go into all these inyanimates, stories, but it's just to give a certain ergish, a chush. I don't talk about these things in many years, but there used to be a bicycle called Rolly. You ever hear of Rolly bicycle? That's probably still around. I don't know. It was like the Rolls Royce of bicycles when we were kids. So my father like saw that in order to like get my sister and I like we should go along with this whole thing, because he made this thing we're going to Israel. But then he saw like, whoa, like we're not happy. So he tried to get us all, like, to bribe us with all kinds of stuff, like, to make us happy. So, in Eretz Yisrael, when we lived in Netanya, everywhere we got around was by bicycle. Everybody was with bicycles, even adults, mostly bicycles. But kids, everything was with bicycle. So, because I didn't want to have these Israeli bicycles he would buy for, like, $5 in a shop that was used and put together. So my father had, for my sister and for myself, Rolly bicycles sent from England. That we had bicycles. I was the only kid in Netanya that had this roll with speeds on it, you know? So I took it to, I rode it to school. I rode it to school, all the Israelis. Why? And the whole thing was taken apart, every piece by piece. I don't know. They stole the first gears they stole. and then they stole the handlebars. And I would see like the I would see the next week I see like Israeli bicycles with my handlebars on it. They put it together. Their fathers helped them to put it together. It's like why that was the end of it. And for like a week I had my bicycle. It was the end. Israelis never saw such a thing like that. But my father kept on buying his stuff, and then maybe we'll be happy. Maybe we'll be happy. Give a little bit more America here. There's Asher, and then some of my friends came to visit. Maybe we'll be. I'll be happy. So that was it for my father's dream, finished. And that's the story, like, of how it's been with us, you know. And then you settle back in, and then forget about the whole Indian affair to ourselves. Fafal. That was it. So let's go back to the safe. I'm sorry. It says, with all the years of Golas, so the dreams became smaller. The dreams they became. The dreams shrunk over the years. Rav Kook's words: Im chalokim rabim meistafus chazianasein yiskatnu bekamusam biyipokshem hametzias. Bereishis dakeinu. Rav Kook says, ein ra, always positive. Rav Kook. So Rav Kook says that if certain parts of our visions and our dreams became smaller, the kamusam and their amount and so on, bihipoksham imamitsiyas, when we meet with the reality of life, so he says, in other words, with a good life, that we're able to build up our own country. So he says that, yeah, Yiddishkeit's going to suffer. He said there's going to be some problems. When life gets better in Eretz Yisrael, because we're going to have our own place. So Rav Kook said, so some of the dreams, some of the visions are going to get smaller. But Rav Kook says, that's only Bereishis Darkeinu. I don't know if it's still called Bereishis Darkeinu. But he says, the Bereishis Darkeinu, he says, Ein Ra. Nishkefelech. Ein Ra. It's not bad. He said, we'll learn how to adjust it. And the truth is that the amount of Ruchnius and Eretz Yisrael and the yeshivas and chassidus and everything is unbelievable. But he says, Ein Ra. Well, first we're going to be very enamored with ourselves and with having our place back and having our, you know, being in charge. We'll be enamored with it, and that will be as it's always been on the expense of some of the ruchnias. But then Rav Kook says that that's the racious darkeinu, ein ra. So Rav Avinir says, "Madu is alone ra. Why is it Rav Kook saying the ein ra? Why is it not so bad?" But nay, so Rav Kook continues. Rav Kook says, what an amazing sentence. What is he saying over here? Hametzias ein lo knafayim mihirim ke'ela asher l'chizayon. The literal translation is that reality doesn't have such fast wings, such powerful wings, doesn't fly as quickly as the vision. You know, that some of those who were opposed to Rav Kook, when I say opposed to him, but knew that he was a great tzaddik and loved him and respected him, but felt that he was not realistic, but felt that he was sof kol sof a dreamer, and that his dreams sometimes got the better of him. Baruch Hashem that we had such a tzaddik. There were many, many tzaddikim who felt that way. As much as they loved him and respected him, they felt that he was that he was so good, and in that way so naive in a very holy way, that he didn't look at things and see some of the ugliness that others saw. So Rav Kook says over here that the Metzias ain't looking to find me here in Keila Shel Chizayon. So Rav Avinir says, Lokeh Zman Rav the Metzias Kedela Hakshim as Osam Chalomas Gedolim V'Yedelim Nisayim. So he says, Rav Avinir explains that look, Ein Ra, because it takes a long time for things to catch up. Metzias, Ein Lach, Metzias, he says, it takes time. He says, there's a great vision, and Metzias, Ein Lach, Nefayim, and reality doesn't move as quickly as the great vision. But give it time, and reality and the great vision will work out. There's the great vision, it's easy to have a great vision. That takes a second, you don't have to do anything. But then Lamaisa, to build it, is hard, right? You could have a vision for a beautiful thing, for a beautiful besamedrish or a beautiful family, but then when it comes to the Metzias, it takes much longer. It doesn't have such wings. Hamitzias ain laknafayim mehirim. Reality doesn't have such fast wings. You know, I mean, it doesn't fly so quickly. A vision? A vision's a minute. You get the big dream, a vision, that takes a second. But it takes time for reality to catch up, to build it. But Rav Kook believes so strongly that ain ra, it's not bad, it's okay. You know, it's the Yiddishkeit, he says, is going to take a hit, Yiddishkeit. Because Jews are going to get so caught up in the Gashmis, Beretz Asher, you know, they'll become so excited over being free, and Leos, Am Chafshi Baritzenu, you know. And they're going to be so excited about that, so many are going to, Yiddishkeit's going to suffer as a result of that. Because of the false redemption that people are going to find in physical things, they're going to seek salvation in physical life, because life is better. The Cossacks are gone, so life is better. But Rav Kook still says, Ein Ra, it'll be okay. He says, Metzias ein laknafayim mehirim ke'ela ashe l'chizayon. L'kech zman rav l'metzias k'ri l'hakshim esayisam chalomis gedolim v'yideil m'yisam. We have very great dreams and great visions, but you have to build it in reality. It takes a long time. And when you build something, there are ups and downs. You know, so a couple gets married, they envision, you know, they're going to have the perfect family and everything's going to be gewaldig, and they have some family that they once saw that they thought were perfect. Probably not, because everybody has problems, but they thought they were perfect, and then they're under the chuppah and they speak about, you know, what they're going to have, and everything's going to be gewaldig, and they're going to have this kind of a marriage, and they're going to have, and even before they have kids, they already have a fight, you know, that's some disagreement by Sheva Brochas, you know, and then they have some kind of an argument. How come he wasn't friendly to, you know, Aunt Bessie or something? And then they have some kind of an argument, and already the chalom is because you have to build the mitzvahs of a relationship, a marriage, or something. It takes your whole life to build the chizayon, the vision of a marriage. Talk to any little girl coming out of seminary, and could put a microphone and say, "How do you imagine your life is going to be?" Oh my God! OMG! It's going to be like this, and it's going to be like that, and oh, and my husband's going to be such a ben Torah, and we're going to go to Shiurim, and I'm going to have my house open to every single cause, and everybody. I'm going to have something. First of all, what kind of house? You haven't paid mortgage in 3 months. They're foreclosing on your house, so you can't even afford to buy a house. And your tzaddik of a husband falls asleep in the soup, and he doesn't say one Dvar Torah because he didn't look online that day to find the Dvar Torah because he's too busy online looking at other girls. I hate to say such things, and I'm not saying it's God forbid. It's always like that. But reality is something you have to build. It takes a long time to build. It takes a long time to build, and it's very, very bitter when you see that. My vision is so much faster than my reality. Like the vision takes off on wings, phew, and it goes, and you go to these places, and then when you have to build that vision, lamaisa, and get down to work, especially since we weren't raised as builders, you understand? It's not like early generations, they were very patient. In early generations, they understood to have something, you have to work for years. That's not how it is now. If you can't get it on your phone in 10 seconds, that means you're already outdated. It means this is a Galaxy 8 and you're a Loyutzluch because the other guy's a Galaxy 20 or something. So you're already, we're not used to building things. Building is something that takes time. And we weren't raised as builders. We were raised as havers. You know, we're not builders. We're raised as havers. It's a different metzias of a person. We're raised to have, not to build. Other people have to build. I remember I went with one of the chevre. There was a dinner in New York that we both had to go to. I had to go. It was somebody that we both knew, and I had to go to this dinner. So we had to go to Manhattan. So one of the chevre was a very comfortable, well-to-do fellow. So he was kind enough to offer me to drive, and we went together. It was nice. So then I was getting so nervous that it's getting late, and where are we going to park? Where are we going to park? I don't know where we're going to park, because that's how I think. Where are we going to park? You know, I don't know where we're going to park. It was the middle of Manhattan, like the Hyatt in the middle of Manhattan is on, and we're going to park over here. So he kept on saying to me, "Rabbi, take it easy, Rabbi, just take it easy." And it's going to be okay. So, but if we have to find a parking spot, then I'm going to be late. I'm not going to be able to say Mazel Tov. I'm going to get stuck listening to 2 hours of speeches. I want to be able to say Mazel Tov and leave, right? I don't have to stay for 2 hours of speeches. In those years before they made videos, right? But at least the video, the Hechatim, so maybe you'll want to continue living. So, but in those years, you didn't know what you're going to get. So I said, we're going to be late. We're not going to make it because we're going to have... She says, Rabbi, take it easy. He didn't tell me. I don't know why I should take it easy. I don't know what he's going to do. So we get there, he pulls right up to the front, and he goes to the guy that's standing over there, and he takes like a $50 bill, and he gives the guy a $50 bill to take care of the car, or something like that. And he says, we're coming out in 10, 15 minutes. Just leave the car over here, though. I never saw in my life anything like that. It was like Spider-Man. Wow, I never had such a thing in my life. I spent most of my life driving around looking for the parking spot. This guy just takes out, and it was like a big, I thought it was a different president, it wasn't regular. It was a big bill, and he just gives the guy like that, and the guy's, take care of you. And then we just walk out, and the guy has the car waiting by the door, you know? So I said to my wife, sometimes being a gevir is like, I don't want to be a gevir, but sometimes it comes in handy. Like, it's like you need a parking spot. To be a gevir is a good, like regular, I don't want to be a gevir, but for a parking spot, there's something to it to be a gevir. It's like, and then over the years, you know, you start to see that there's some other good things to being, they're like, the other good nakudas by gevirim that they have, you know. We were talking about maybe eventually be able to get a place in Yerushalayim. So my wife, she wants only to live in Shari Chesed. So I said, we're going to Shari Chesed, because we were there a little bit, we were paying rent, and even that, like, you had to wash dishes to pay the rent. So I said, we can't buy anything in Yerushalayim, so we'll move someplace in the Shtachim, you know, we'll go to somewhere further out. So I said to my wife, are you ready? We have Gvirisha Chalaimis. Well, we're going to buy an apartment, you know, we're going to buy an apartment in Shari Chesed somewhere. It's a Gvirish Cholim, you know what I'm saying? This is just, we'll be happy if we'll be able to get a tzrif, a little shack someplace, you know, someplace in one of the Shtachim. We have to, sometimes to be a Gvir, you know, Eretz Asher, you can see it's not so bad. Eretz Asher. It's not so bad. So you have a vision, you have a dream. You have a dream, and the dream is a dream that's a gevaldic big dream. But then reality is not like that. You have to build it. You have to build it. So since we were raised as havers, so we want to have a place in Eretz Yisrael. I want to slowly, it's a bislach, to build up and to build up and to build up. I want to have. I think we're just to have, not to build. Our parents, our grandparents, they were builders. They assumed that they're going to start with nothing. Our children didn't grow up like that. They assumed they're going to start off with whatever they need. And if they're not, then they're already like disadvantaged people. They're disadvantaged. They don't have like their friend. Their friend already moved into a house in Lawrence or in Muncie or in wherever, or in Woodmere. They already moved in. They're only married 2 years. They already have a house. And we're already married for 4 years. We're still living in this miserable apartment. A miserable apartment. Our grandparents would have killed for these apartments. I told you once that I was sitting... When my father came to visit us in the old bungalow, not that we have now a nice place in the country, but when we had the old bungalow, it was a tiny little place, and my uncle, Oliver Shalom, he was there. And they were talking about how, you know, this would have been very, very nice for us. We would have enjoyed having to live until 120. We could have lived in this bungalow. It was fine. And all we're complaining about is that there's mold on the ceiling, and that the thing is dripping, the faucet is dripping. They were builders. They were different kind of people. That they didn't expect things to be like that. You know, to come in and it should be. The second my father would walk into a place, he'd always look to see what could be fixed over here. I always walk in the room and see what's wrong over here, not what could be fixed, but what's no good. Not what needs to be fixed, because I can't fix anything. So only what's missing over here. My father always looked to see what could be fixed over here. Not to go online to press a button to order, and it comes the next day a new thing. That's what people want to have for their when it comes to their marriages too. It doesn't go well. They just want to order another one online. Instead of fixing the marriage, they just want to order another wife online. That's what's going on. My wife told me that she read an article someplace with his remember do footnote 132 Ezra, we should do footnote where they have they're starting soon, they're going to be selling, maybe they already sell, they have robot women who are robots for men who are lonely, that they could buy a robot woman. Yes, the mice, whatever that means, what kind of a sick thing that is. And I guess you could program it for not answering back or saying nice things to you and never causing you any aggravation and saying, yes, dear, I love you, dear, you're the best, dear. Mi kamoicha be'elam Hashem, every single minute of your life. So you get these guys are going to be buying robot, lifelike wives that they're going to be. This way you don't have to build a marriage. You have to build a marriage. You just buy a marriage. So the Rav Kook says, Lo ra. It's okay, he said. We'll the vision is a big vision. The dream is a big dream and has strong wings. But reality will catch up to it. It'll catch up to it. So we have to doubt that the reality of our lives, Be'ez Hashem, should catch up to the dream and the vision that Rav Kook had. That should all come together, Be'ez Hashem, soon. Good job.
That's a cool spot here.
Yeah, I heard of that. Like you sent me a text, yeah, I think a poem.
Right.
My text doesn't work anymore. It says it over there, own text. So it comes out that it's just like dribbling. Just even WhatsApp with the email.
Okay.
To tell her I'd love to see it, but it didn't come out.
Okay.
The text doesn't work.